Probably more.
So we're beginning the Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Even though it sounds like the subject of the Masechta should be Rosh Hashanah, as in the Yom Tov, really only most of the third perek and all of the fourth are going to be about it. The first two prakim and the beginning of the third are actually mostly talking about, well, beginning from the middle of our perek is going to be talking about Kiddush HaChodesh, and the first Mishnah of it begins with our Bar Rosh Hashanim Haim, of which one of them is the Rosh Hashanah that we're familiar with. So that's, we're going to have first, the majority of our perek is going to be talking about other issues. We are going to talk a little bit here and there about Rosh Hashanah as we're familiar with, but most of the focus is going to be on other things, including we have a large amount of the halachas of Seder Zeroyim in our perek. B'chlah, we've talked about before when the because there's no Gebara Bavli on Zeroyim and on Taris, when the Bavli has a topic from one of those Sedarim to talk about in a different Masechta, then we'll talk about it at length because there won't be another place to do it. So that's what we're going to eventually have over here. And then beginning from the middle of the perek, well, two thirds of the way through the perek, we're going to start talking about Kiddush HaChodesh and then eventually about Rosh Hashanah per se. The Mishnah starts.
What topics are we going to cover in Zeroyim?
So we're going to talk about topics. Include we're going to talk about topics of Shemitah, of Orla, when the year begins as far as Meiser for different kinds of produce, or different things like that. Those we're going to be discussing beginning around Daf Yod or so.
Was there a Masechta that was lost sometime?
No, it's possible, I suppose, but it's more likely, it seems, from here and from other places, since we see in many places that the Gemara Bavli will do this, that it will explain these things at length rather than, for example, if you have, let's say, a topic in, for example, we're going to have the first thing now, we're going to have a topic about something involving shtaris at the beginning of the Gemara, which is something that you have in, which is something that belongs to Bava Basra. So, but the Gemara is only going to mention it here briefly. It's not going to go into great detail about it because you have a Masechta, Bava Basra, where this whole topic can be discussed at length. But then we're going to see it's not going to be like that when we get to Shmitin and Tia and Yerokas, which makes it more likely that there was never a Masechta. So what it is, in other words, obviously they discussed these things in the Bate Medrash in Bavel. But then when Ravina and Ravashi came to compose the Gemara for us, then they chose to not make a specific Masechta, to have a Masechta of Gemara specifically dealing with those, maybe because there wasn't enough material, and just to incorporate it in various other places. And that's how it seems to be over here. Before we start, by the way, just to conclude one thing we were talking about yesterday at the end of Beitza about the Mashkin B'Shoichdin. There was something I started saying about it from a sicha, but I kind of botched it up. So let me re-clarify it, and it will also serve as kind of an introduction to Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So we said again that you water the animals and then you shech them, because we said to make it easier to strip off the skin is one reason of it. So what the Rebbe talked about is that you find the same thing in Masechta Tamid when it talks about the Korban Tamid, also that they gave it a drink before they shechted it. And the reason why we need it in both places is we need to know by Chulin and by Kodeshim, essentially. When it comes to Chulin, we could have thought you can do whatever you want. There's no limit on the number of malachas you can do with the animal before you shecht it. On the other hand, Kodeshim, maybe not. You're not supposed to do extra malachas. Maybe, therefore, you shouldn't bother. Therefore, you need to do it. On the other hand, given that the point of it is to cleanly separate the flesh and the skin of the animal, you would think that's more important by Kodeshim, where every bit of flesh has to be eaten by the Kohenim or the owners or whatever, or by a Kohen or the Brunt on the Mizbeach, and the skin not. So therefore, you would have thought that there it's more important to do that, and by Chulin not necessarily. Therefore, we need it also over here by Masechta Beitza, which is talking about regular Chulin animals. And then the Rebbe says this serves as kind of a lead-in to Masechta Rosh Hashanah on account of ultimately our Masechta is going to be talking about the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, and that is actually one of the main times of year when you eat meat. In fact, you have a Mishnah in Chulin that says that there are certain times of year when it's expected there's going to be larger volumes of meat sold, and therefore you buy meat from a butcher. From an animal that he hasn't shechted yet, and you're sort of taking responsibility for the whole animal. And one of those is out of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, so that serves as a lead-in to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah begins. Rosh Hashanah. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. Ve'echad b'nissen Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'l'regalim. The first of Nissen is Rosh Hashanah for kings and for Yom Tovim. Kings, what we mean of, is Rashi describes, they used to, when they would write a shtar, they would date it in the year such and such of King Pliny. Rashi refers to something in Gittin where it says they did this because of Shloim Malchus, in order to have good relations with the Goyish governments that we live under, that they should see, look, we consider them important. And we write their years in our shtaris, in particular in our Gittin. The Pashtus started before that. I mean, with Alexander, you have Minyan Shtaris. That was, they started a continuous count that began from when he conquered Eretz Yisrael that persisted for a long time. So in other words, that it didn't change after he died, that they counted not to the individual reign of a king like they did before, but rather to the rule of his empire, or even after that empire splintered and collapsed. They used it a long time later. The Yemenites actually used it until they moved to Eretz Yisrael, and then in the last 70 or 80 years, in Egypt, for example, the Jews over there used it until the 1500s, when the Radvaz told them to start using the Yetzirah, counting from creation like everybody else does. Anyway, so I don't think there's any place now where they count the Malachim or the Shtaris or anything like that anymore, but still, the Halacha is a Halacha. Tosafos actually argues and says, what are you talking about? If you were talking about Ve'echa B'nissen, which is Rosh Hashanah for Jewish kings, there is no issue of Shloim Malchus. Later on in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about Lashonim, which is the years of Goyish kings. So the Pnei Yeshua answers that, yeah, what Rashi means maybe is that because they did it like this with Jewish kings as well, therefore, back in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, for example, they would write in a get or in whatever other document, in year Pliny of King David or King Shlomo or whatever, therefore, the Chachamim said to continue the practice also when we're under Goyish kings, so that they should see that we hold them to be important as well, and it'll maintain peaceful relations with them. Anyway, so you have a Rosh Hashanah for kings.
Would that apply today?
So again, nowadays, in principle, it applies. In principle, if you were to write a shtar and write that it was in the X year of President so and so, then it would be a valid shtar. Lamaisa, the Minhag Yisrael is not to do that anymore. We write pretty much universally. We write years of the Yetzirah. Fine, the Goyim don't mind. It's not like they themselves usually date their shtaris by the years of king or president or whatever Pliny either. So therefore, you know, they're not going to care about it. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says that we have a Rosh Hashanah for the king in the sense that we have a certain defined date in the year when the king's year begins. We don't just say that it goes according to when he started ruling, as we'll talk about in the Gemara. So that's Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. V'lod ha'golim means we're going to see in the Gemara. We're going to have a long sugya beginning on Daf Dalet about the issue of Bal Ta'achar. We know that a person says that they're going to bring a korban. The Torah says, "Lo sa'achar l'shalmai," don't delay in bringing it. So how long a delay is acceptable, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, and we're going to have the possibility over there that it goes, where one opinion is it goes in according to Yom Tovim consecutively, Pesach, Shavuos, and then Sukkot, in that order, and in that sense, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for that. Which the Gemara is going to say, actually, really, then it's not really Rosh Chodesh per se. It's really the 15th. It's really the first day Pesach, then, in that sense. Anyway, that's the first Rosh Hashanah. The second one, Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maisa Behema. The first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah as far as Maisa Behema. So you have every year, you have the newborn animals. you take your, you put the, as we talked about yesterday, you put them in the pen, you you have them go out 1 or 2 days ago, whatever, you have them go out one by one, each 10th one you hit with a stick with red paint and designate it Meister, and then afterwards you, if it's a tongue, you bring it as a korban, if it's a balmum, then you eat it with, with the kedusha of Meister. Anyway, so you need a cutoff point where, at what point is, do we say the animals born before a certain cutoff date belong to 1 year, animals born after a certain cutoff date belong to a different year. So the Mishnah is telling us, according to the Tanna Kamma, that date is the first of Elul, for reasons that the Gemara is going to talk about on Daf Ches. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say that actually the date is the first of Tishrei, not the first of Elul. And again, the Gemara is going to explain there why they hold that way. So on the face of it, by the way, it would come out, according to them, there's only three Rosh Hashanahs, because according to them, we only have Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and Chamisha Asar B'Shvat. The Gemara is going to explain that actually, according to them, there are also four, because they're the ones who hold that the Yomim Tovim go in order as far as Baal Ta'achar. So in effect, according to them, you have four Rosh Hashanahs: Rosh Chodesh Nissan for Malachim, Tesvav Nissan for Regalim, Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aseh Behemah and the various other purposes we're going to say in the Mishnah, and Chamisha Asar B'Shvat for Ilanis. So it comes out that even according to them, you do have four Rosh Hashanah. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Be'echad B'Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah as far as the years, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means. The months, we know we count from Nisan, so one meaning of it is that years, when we count years since creation, we count since Tishrei. We're going to have the famous Machlokas in the Gemara eventually, whether B'Nisan Nivra Olam or Tishrei Nivra Olam. So that's one thing. The Gemara also, the Gemara mentions, though, the main thing is L'Shanim means when we're counting the years of Goyish kings. Then we count Jewish kings, we said, we count from Nisan. Goyish kings, we count from Tishrei. One idea of that is, since Nisan is the month when the Eibishter gave us our freedom, so Jewish kings, we count from that month because we became a free, independent nation, one that can have kings of our own. Therefore, it's appropriate to have the Rosh Hashanah for all Jewish kings be then, and that's when their new year of their reign begins, whereas the Goyish ones, we do from Tishrei. The Hoyin Osher on the Mishnah, by the way, says an interesting thing. So he says, so why does the Mishnah say, instead of Lashonim, why not say L'malchi Umasa Olam or something like that? He says, because the word Shonim also hints at, it means people that have Averis, as opposed to the Malchi Yisrael, who ideally do not. Shonim, as in Yiyu Chatoichim Kashonim, Kashelag Yalbinu. Therefore, the Mishnah chooses the word Shonim for like a double entendre. Okay. So Lashonim, V'Lashmitin, as far as Shmita, V'Lashmitin, V'Layovos, as far as Shmita and Yovel, in the sense that once Rosh Hashanah comes, then Minat Torah, you're also to work the fields, and then during Shmita and Yovel, we're going to talk about, in the Gemara, eventually, we're going to talk about briefly, that there is something called Tosfos Shvius. There's a certain amount of time before Shvius that there's certain kinds of agricultural work you're not allowed to do, partly Daraisa, partly Dirabanan, but once Rosh Hashanah comes, then that's the cutoff point for all of them. Lanatia, also Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is also the Rosh Hashanah as far as a newly planted tree, meaning in terms of counting the years of Orla for it, that each year of Orla of this tree, when you can't eat it for the first 3 years, those years begin on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to see in the Gemara eventually on Daf Yud Aleph or so the details of exactly how we calculate them. And Vilayurakis, and as far as vegetables, whereas we're going to learn in the Gemara, unlike most kinds of fruits and grains, where you go according to when they reached a certain stage of development in terms of what year they belong to as far as Truma and Meiser and as far as Kedushas Shvius, with vegetables, you go according to when they're picked. So if it's picked before or after Rosh Hashanah, that's the cutoff point for when it belongs to a certain year or to the previous year. And the last one, Be'echad B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam Kedivei Beit Shammai. On the first of Shvat is the fourth Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah of trees, which is relevant as far as Meiser. Namely that, again, when it comes to, just like with Ma'aseh Behemah, where you take from each year's animals individually, so it is also with Ma'aseh of produce, for example, of fruit, that you don't take from 1 year's produce on behalf of the different years. So the cutoff point for that is Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. We're going to eventually see in the Gemara that Chamisha Asa B'Shvat has relevance as far as trees for some other halachas in connection with Meiser. It also it comes up, for example, to a certain extent as far as Orla. We'll get to those details in the Gemara, in the Yuds. So that's a point. Yeah. I'll try. So according to Bes Shammai, it's Rosh Hashanah Ilan is on the first of Shvat. Bes Hillel B'Chamisha Asa B'Yom, and Bes Hillel says on the 15th, which is of course why we celebrate Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. An interesting point of that is Hagoyis Maimonius says, and this is brought lahalacha, that why is it we don't say Tachnun on Chamisha Asa B'Shvat? Because since the Mishnah puts them all together over here, Abor Rosh Hashanah Haim, that means to a certain extent whatever applies to one applies to the others. Since we don't say Tachnun on Echad B'Nissan and Echad B'Elul and Echad B'Tishrei, therefore we don't say Tachnun on Chamisha Asa B'Shvat either. You're mentioning Sichas. So first of all, actually, there's a mimer in Sefer Ma'amar Meluka, it's a Mugadik mimer that begins Avor Rosh Hashanim Haim, where the Rebbe talks about the connection, deeper connection between these various Rosh Hashanahs, and in particular, he develops the idea of the connection between Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim and Rosh Hashanah for Elon, where the idea is the Kitzur Nimratz is that Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim represents when you work on bittul, because after all, that's the approach you have towards a melech as a feeling of bittul towards him. And from that comes the growth that eventually culminates in Chamisha Asa B'Shvat, where you see a growth of the person in Torah, in particular, where we say Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh, where Ki Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh refers primarily to the fact that a person grows and develops like a flourishing tree in Torah. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about in general. We find between Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, usually when many of their machloikasin can be reduced down to the question, do we go according to the koyach or according to the poil? Do we go according to the potential or the actuality? So Bes Shammai takes the view that since Rosh Chodesh includes in it, in microcosm, the entire month, therefore the Rosh Hashanah Leilonis should be the first of the month, and that includes in it the entire, everything that happens during that month. Whereas Bes Hillel says, we go according to the poil, you wait until the time of the month when the strength of that month is at its peak, which is Chamisha Asa B'Yom, and that's when you have Rosh Hashanah Leilonis. So we're going to see in the Gemara, actually, that we go according to when Yotzu Roiv Gishmei Shana, when most of the rain of the year has fallen, and therefore the trees have absorbed that, and from now on their growth is going to be more based on the rain that fell already. So we're going to see that we're going to see in the Gemara that Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel argue exactly when that takes place. That they grow annually. Yeah, they have a growth cycle during the summer and during the winter. Yeah, that's what forms the rings in wood. That's true. Yeah. There is, by the way, also an interesting little nuance we see in the Mishnah is most of the things mentioned in the Mishnah are in plural: melachim, regalim, shonim, shmitin, etc. But the ma'isa behema not. But fine, that's the term for it. It's called ma'isa behema. It's not called ma'isa behemos. But then you have Natia and Elon are in singular. So there's a long, long, interesting explanation from Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyin about it, where he relates the Elon and the Natia to the two trees in Gan Eden. The Eitz HaChayim, the Elon is the Natia is the Eitz HaChayim, the Elon is the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra, each of which is in the singular, therefore they're in the singular in our Mishnah. And he points out also that the word Elon itself is gematria of the two names, Havaya and Elikim, together. Yeah, so he talks about you can find it. He has in his drush for pre tzaddik for Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. Yeah, he has a long discussion about these two ilonis and about how the power of the Yetzer Hara that came about and messed up what the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra was meant to accomplish in the world and how we're misacking it and so forth. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. When we say that there's a Rosh Hashanah for kings, for what halacha is it? So Rashi explains the question isn't really for what halacha. We know what halacha for shtaris. What it means is, why do we need a specific day when the king's regnal year begins? Just say, for example, King Pliny became king on the 10th of Iyar. So every year he starts a new year on the 10th of Iyar. Why have a specific date when the year turns over? And the answer is going to be so Omar of Chista l'shtaris. The answer is because of shtaris, because you need to know what shtar was what shtar was written before a particular loan was taken out, and which one afterwards. So, meaning, in other words, Rashi says that if we didn't have a defined date when we say the king's year begins, then when we have, for example, let's say a shtar that says that Pliny borrowed money from the other one in Kislev of the third year, let's say. Now we have something else that says that he sold such and such property in Tammuz of the third year. So we need to know what came first. If Kislev came before Tammuz, it means that when the loan was taken out, he still owned that property. Therefore, that property is under a shibud for the loan. On the other hand, if Tammuz comes before Kislev, meaning, in other words, if Rosh Hashanah for the king is Nisan, let's say, so then Tammuz of a certain year precedes Kislev of that year, then it means by the time he took out the loan, he had already sold that field, and therefore the Malva has no claims on taking that field to satisfy the debt. So therefore, it becomes important to know when the year of the king was, and if we didn't have a defined date, the dayanim themselves might not know what month the king became, what date or what month the king started his reign, and therefore they're not going to know how to judge the case. Tosfos has a long discussion about that, among other things. Tosfos says, why are we concerned about that? All the dayanim are going to forget. Nobody's going to remember the date when the guy became king. So for that, and for that, and for several other reasons, with having to do with the flow of the Gemara over here about various kinds of shtarei chayv, Tosfos rather explains that the problem is not so much that Beis Din may not know at all when the guy became king, but rather they may be off by one day, which that could be common enough. You could mistakenly think that he became king on a certain day, and really it was a day earlier or something. And then so you have when a shtar is written, so a shtar is written. Let's say, for example, you write the first of Nisan, the first year of the king. He became king the next year. So if he became king Beis Nisan, then really the first of Nisan of his first year, if we didn't have a defined date, would be a whole year later. If he became king the first of Nisan, then it means on the day he became king. And okay, so the first year again, you know, it's easy enough to tell. But what if it's the 10th year? So, you know, you could easily confuse whether he became king on Aleph Nisan or Beis Nisan. So therefore, the Chacham had to define a certain date. A number of Rishonim actually talk about the Baal HaMor, for example, rather learns the question of the Gemara differently. The question is not really why we need a particular date, but what is the Nafka Minah for it? What's the Nafka Minah, lahalacha, of having a certain date? And the answer is going to be as far as determining what are Shtarei Chayv Mukdamim and Mocharim. So in fact, the Ritva says the reason why Rashi may not have liked that explanation, what forces him to say, usually the Maya Hilfsa means just that. For what purpose in halacha do we need to know it? Why instead is Rashi understanding the question as why was a particular date set instead of just saying it goes according to one king and another, is because since the Gemara continues that we need to know as far as shtarei chayv hamukdamim psulim, etc., if it was just that we needed to know because we need to know how to date shtaris, then the Gemara doesn't need to bring in the whole thing of early and late, of a predated and postdated shtaris. The fact that the Gemara brings it in shows, says Rashi, that the Gemara knew, of course, we need a date in order to know how to date shtaris. The question is why we need a defined date instead of just saying it goes according to the king's will, it goes according to whenever the guy became king, and the answer is in order to be able to tell predated from postdated shtaris. So Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, shtarei chayv hamukdamim psulin, predated shtarei chayv are posel, v'hamocharin ksherin, postdated ones are kosher. Meaning, Rashi says like this. So if you have, let's say the guy took out a loan in, Tammuz, and they predated the shtar and said he took it out in Sivan. The problem with that is that now, later on, if the guy defaults on the loan, and we say we're going to take any property that he owned at the time of the loan and use it, and then the Baal Chayv can go and take it away from the Lekuchas, from the people who bought it, and use it to satisfy the debt. The problem is the Shtar says Sivan, so therefore we're going to think that any property that he sold already in Sivan is under a lien, is under a Shibud for that. And it's not, because he only took out the loan in Tammuz. Therefore, we say that such a Shtar Chayv is possible. So Rashi learns that it just means that it means possible. You can't collect with it from Mishabodim. You still can collect it. It is still a valid shtar, and you can still collect with it just only from Bnei Chorin, only from property that the loiva still owns right now. Tosfos over here mentions briefly that they disagree. In Bava Metzia, they have a long Tosfos about it that explains at length that they learn that it's actually completely possible. You can't collect anything with it. In any case, the point is that if it's predated, it's possible. If they're post-dated, then it's kosher. Because vice versa, he took out the loan in Tammuz. They dated the shtar in Av. Good, that doesn't hurt anybody who bought property from him. Adrabe, it means that anybody who bought from him in Tammuz is safe. So therefore, no problem. Although actually, Rishonim point out, it may not be that simple in that case. It depends whether the shtar says in it that and that the shibud is also on any property d'ikni that I'm going to buy in the future. Like you have, for example, you hear a ksuba being read by the chuppah, you have the expression that the chosin says, I'm taking achrayus for this ksuba, and on the chosin d'konena, that I already was kona, or d'osid anil mikni, and that I'm going to be kona in the future. So then, fine, he's accepting the shibud on himself. So that works for our purposes. But if not, if you don't have that, imagine, for example, that What if, for example, you have the shtar was, what if the loan was done in Tammuz, the shtar is post-dated to Av, so what's going to happen? You may have, what if he bought property after the loan was taken out, but before the date of the shtar? If there's no de'osid anol mikna, then that property shouldn't be subject to a shibud, but we're mistakenly going to think it is, because we're going to think it's before the date of the loan, because that's the date that's written in the shtar. Therefore, so you may have a problem in that case, even with shtaris that are post-dated. And then you have other Rishonim that argue that it's not necessarily, even if you don't write De'osid Ani L'mikna, it's kind of implied. There's a good deal of discussion among the Achronim about the pros and cons of those. L'maisa, in Shulchan Aruch, it says don't do any of these kind of shenanigans. Just write the actual date when it was done and have done with it. Mice and b'chol yom that they have when a ksuba is written, that they try to make sure they make sure that the ksuba is dated the same day as the chuppah. So therefore, if the chuppah ends up being after shkia or after tzeis, then they're going to make if the chuppah is going to be late, then they're going to make sure to only sign the ksuba on that date in order that you don't have problems with this kind of thing of when the shibud begins and not. Ideally, the chuppah is before shkia, and then you write it, on the of the day of that day during the daytime, right? So this is the relevance of knowing when the Rosh Hashanah and the Malachim is to know. So according to Rashi, the idea. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, the idea is to know what is which shtaris are mukdam and which are ma'ucher, namely to know what came according to Rashi, in order to know, for example, when you have again a loan document dated in Kislev and a sale document of a property dated in Tammuz, to know which one came first. According to Tosfos, similarly, but the point is we're not worried about that they forgot completely when the guy became king, but rather they may be off by one day, and therefore that shifts everything by a day. And according to the Baal Amarg, it's more generally how to know to make sure that a shtar is dated on the proper day and not misdated. The Mefarshim also, by the way, deal with the question. Suppose what happens if we have a shtar that says a certain date on it? How would we ever know that it's mukdam or mu'ukhar anyway? What are we going to have? Are the edim going to come and tell us we predated the shtar or we postdated the shtar? How would we accept such edus from them? In effect, once they're already signed on the shtar, nasa kamisha nechra edusim bebeistin, halacha is, it's considered as though their edus has already been checked out and then cross-examined by beistin. Now, if they say another edus that contradicts it, kiven shehigad shuveni chozer magid, they can't say something that's going to contradict that. So how would we accept any evidence that, in fact, it was pre or post-dated? So there's a number of answers that the Rishonim give, one of them being that based on Yerushalmi, I think, that that we accept it where it's a reasonable kind of mistake that they could make. For example, it could be a reasonable mistake that they're off that they're off on the date. They thought it was the second year and really it's the third year, for example, or vice versa. Or that they may have thought that you are allowed to pre or post date it, not realizing that you're not allowed to do that. Rashi also mentions a point over here that the way that all of this can work is you can have the shtar can be written. And the Rashi learns based on a Gemara and Baba Basra that the shtar could be written even if the Edim themselves didn't see the halva, as long as the loiva told them to write and sign a document for him that he owes plenty of money. Now, many Rishonim disagree with that because they learn that Gemara differently, but that's another possible mistake that the Edim could have made. They could say that we thought the halacha is like Rashi, that we're allowed to do that, and therefore we wrote that shtar, and therefore now we need then, so we would accept their edus then that the shtar is predated and decide accordingly. Okay. So anyway, so that's the point. So that's why we need a Rosh Hashanah for kings. So Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Melech Sh'omad Be'esri Matisha Ba'adar, if a king stood up, meaning he was crowned on the 29th of Adar, as soon as the first of Nisan comes, even though that's only the next day, it already counts as a full year. So that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're already going to start writing in the second year of King Pointing. The Imloy Omad Elab Echad Ben Nisan, if he only arose, if he only came to the throne on the first of Nisan, Ein Monin Loishona Achi Agir Nisan Acher, then we don't count the second year until the following Nisan. That whole first year we count as his first year. I think I was going to ask on that, that both of those are seem to be part of that, that both that second din seems to be pashut. So we'll see on Amad Beis why we need to say it. So Amamma, Melech Sh'omad Be'esim Tish Ba'adar, if a king who came to the throne on the 29th of Adar, we said, Kivin Shigia Echab Nisan also Loishona. So once the first of Nisan comes, it counts as a whole year for him, and now he's already in his second year. What's the point of that? Ha Kamash Malon, the Braisa wants us to know, like we said in the Mishnah, the Nisan Rosh Hashanah Malachim, that Nisan is the cutoff point. That is the point when the king's year begins. And also, the Yom HaShanah, Chosh HaShanah, also that you should realize that one day in the year counts as an entire year for this purpose. Now, we're actually going to talk about later on in the Perek, when it comes to certain dinim involving Shemitah and involving Erla and whatever, we're going to say that it's not so simple whether one day is enough to be counted as a whole year. We're going to have different opinions over there. You need 3 days, you need 30 days or whatever. But here we're saying, as far as something Dirabbanan like this, which is what we're dealing with over here with a Takana Dirabbanan to write the years of the kings in Shtaris, and then for that purpose, we can count one day as being an entire year. So you shouldn't think, in other words, just because the guy became king only yesterday, how could this already be his second year? No, that's exactly what we say it is. So in Tanakh, actually, you have when it lists the kings of Yisrael and Yehuda. So in general, what we have is we have a lot of what's called shonim mekutois, cut off years, in the sense that, for example, when it says that King Pliny ruled for 3 years, many times it means like 2 years and a little bit of the third. Based on this, for example, he became king towards the end of the year, and he only had those couple of days count as a whole year for him, and then he has one or two complete years, and then dies or is killed or whatever in the middle of the third year or something. So now the Imloy Amad Elab Echad Ben Nisan, and the Braisa continued, if the king only came to the throne on the first of Nisan, Ein Monin Loishana Adji Agir Nisan Acher, then he only counted as a second year when the next Nisan comes. So Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Why would we think we should count extra years for him? The answer is, Loit Tzricha De Imnu Alei Me'adar. The Chiddush is, what if they already, the Sorim, the noblemen, already gathered together and voted during Adar that we're going to accept him as our new king? But they didn't actually crown him and enthrone him until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So you would think maybe then we should count already that Nisan should already be his second year because they already he's king in all but name in Adar. Kamash Kalan, therefore the Mishnah is telling us no, it goes according to when he was actually enthroned. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa in this connection. Mes ba'adar, if a previous king died in Adar, ba'omad achar tachta ba'adar, and the next king succeeded him also in Adar, monin shana lozeh v'lozeh, then the year is counted for both of them. Meaning, Rashi says, therefore, and this wouldn't just apply to Adar, it would apply any time during the year, that when you're writing a shtar after the second one becomes king, in Adar, if you want, you could write that it was in year X of Pliny, of King Pliny, the dead one. So, for example, Shlomo HaMelech, let's say, passes away in Adar, and then Rechavam takes over. So you could write, later in that month, you could write year 40 of Shlomo or year 1 of Rechavam. So you could do that. Similarly, if one of them passes away in Nisan and the next one succeeded him also in Nisan, Monin Shana Lazev Lazer, then you count the year for either one of them. You can keep, write it for one or for the other. What happens if there's a break in between? One of them died in Adar, the next one doesn't succeed him until Nisan. Then you write the first year when you're writing in Adar, you're still writing according to the first king. And once the second king takes over, you don't say that this is year X of the previous king, because now already Rosh Chodesh Nissan came and that year doesn't belong to him at all. Now you dafka have to write for the new king. Which, by the way, you have the interesting question. So what do you do, Taka, in between? While there's no king, what do you do? The Oruch HaNer says in that case, maybe you would have to write according to the years since the Yetzirah, like we do. You'd write, for example, Hey Allah from Tupshin Pei Beis, rather than writing the year Pliny of such and such a king. From the times of the Mishnah or the Gemara, not that I know of, no. Not like we find a lot of Shtaris from those times anyhow, you know. We do find shtaris, for example, they found in the Cairo Gniza, they found a bunch of gittin from a generation or so before the Rambam, all of which are dated in Minyan shtaris. But fine, Minyan shtaris is continuous. You always have from every year, Tishrei, it rolls over, so there's never a break such as they should have a question about this. We're talking about over here when you have discontinuous things between one king and the other. Based on this, by the way, so again, it comes out. This goes back to this Shonim Makutois that we were talking about before, where they were counted according to Minyan Shtaris. So they're from a generation before the Rambam. So they were written, for example, in the year 1140 some L'Shtaris. So Alexander was long dead, but they still continued to count. From when he took over, when he conquered the whole world, they were still doing that. Like I said before, they continued it in Mitzrayim for a few hundred years after that, until the Radbaz told them to switch over to Yetzirah, and then in Yemen they used it until even more recently. So for that reason, is why when you look at the years of the kings in Sefer Melachim, they don't, part of the reason they don't always add up and they don't always mesh together exactly is because of the Shonim HaKotoris business. The Pasuk will tell us, for example, that let's say Rechavam and Yeravam began ruling around the same time because Shlomo passed away and then the two kingdoms split up. But it says Rechavam ruled for 17 years. And then it says that so that should mean on the face of it that his son Aviam takes over in the 17th year of Yeravam, but instead it said he took over in the 18th year. So that goes with this kind of thing of Shonim Makotois, of when the years begin and end, and how we count when a year is considered to begin and when it's considered to end, and you can't just add up the reigns and get the length of time of the first Beis Hamikdash. You have to finagle it a little bit. You have to subtract a little here and there. Yeah. Which is why we have the Seder Olam, which is a Braisa, goes through these kinds of things, goes through these places where Psukim seem to contradict each other or whatever, and explains them. And when we talk about the chronology that we know, that King Pliny became king in such and such a year, Libria, and then King Pliny in such and such a year, we're basing ourselves on Seder Olam, on how it explains the respective Psukim. So now let's analyze that braisa. We said that if a king died in Adar and the new one succeeded him in Adar, so we count the year as either the 40th of King Pliny or the first of King Pliny. The Gemara says Pshita. And the answer is, you might think 1 year can't count for two people. Once the old king started this year, maybe that whole year belongs to him. And even though the new king took over sometime in the middle of it, how can we call that also his first year when at the same time it's the last year of the previous king? So maybe we should say that that entire year is still considered to belong to the old king, and the new one we're only going to begin Rosh Chodesh Nissan. No, the Braisa tells us we don't do that. You can date that year either way. You can call it the last year of the old king or the first year of the new one. Hey, we said Mes b'Nissan v'Amad Achatachta b'Nissan. If the king died in Nissan and the new one succeeded him in Nissan, Monin Shana l'Zev l'Zev. Again, we said the year can count for either one of them. So again, the question is Pshita. And the answer is Ma'u D'Tema. Without the Braisa telling us, you might have thought, Ki Aminin Yom Echad Bashana Choshev Shana. You know, when we said, as we said before, that one day counts as a whole year, is maybe only B'Sof Shana, maybe at the end of the year. Fine. So you have the new king succeeded to the throne on Choftes Adar. Fine. We can say that one day counts as an entire year, and we count that as his first year, and Rosh Chodesh Nissan begins his second year. But we wouldn't know Ava B'Tchilas Shana Lo Yaminin. You wouldn't know that that's the case at the beginning of the year. So what if the old king died on Rosh Chodesh Nissan? We're going to say because of that, he got one day into the new year. We're going to count that entire year can be considered to belong to him. You wouldn't know that. Hamash Malan, therefore the Braisa is telling us, nevertheless, that does work. And yes, because he got one day into that, or even a part of a day, into that new year, then therefore that whole year can be counted as his year, and you can call it the 40th year of King Pliny, even though he's dead for almost all of it. Tosfos discusses over here a little bit. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss this point of when we consider Yom Echad Bashana Choshev Shana and start and talk about it in relation to the dinim of a nida. But the point is over here we're saying this is at the and here we have at the beginning of the year, but it's the end of his years. So therefore, it's like at the beginning and an end at the same time.
Just be careful. 40 years of experience.
I guess so. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Braisa, Mes ba'Adar v'Amad Achatachta b'Nissan, if the old king died in Adar and the new one took over in Nissan, Monin Rishon L'Rishon U'Shni L'Sheni, then we said the previous year up till Rosh Chodesh Nissan, up till the end of Adar, counts for the first king, and beginning from Rosh Chodesh Nissan counts for the second king. So the question is, Pshita, obviously, the old king died before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so there's no reason to count the new year for him. The new king didn't take over till after Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so there's no reason to count the previous year for him. So what's the Chiddush? The answer is, Loit Tzricha, the Chiddush is, not only De'imnu Alei Me'Adar, not only, like we said before, where they voted on accepting him as king in Adar, that there wouldn't be much of a Chiddush, because we said that already in the previous Braisa. Here we have, on top of that, Umelech ben Melechu, and the new king is the son of the previous one. So he has two things in his favor. Number one, that the nobleman already voted to accept him as king. And number two, that his father was the previous king, and the kingship is usually Yarshin from father to son. So you would think that puts him in a strong enough position that maybe already in Adar, right after his father died, and the nobleman got together and voted to accept him as king, that plus the fact that he already is automatically in line to Yarshin the throne, maybe that makes it that now we should already count that as his first year. Kamash Malan, and therefore it's a Ma'u D'Tema Nimnu Le Tautin Shnin. So you would think at that point, at least Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we should count it as a second year because he has so much in his favor. It was so obvious already in Adar that he's going to be king. Kamash Malan, and therefore we're saying that not. Nevertheless, we're saying the fact is he only came to the throne Nissan, therefore only Nissan begins his year, no earlier. Fine. So that is so now we understand how this mechanism works of how the years roll over from one king to the next. Now that we did that, now we got to figure out. We said in the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. How do we know that? Where is the source in Torah for that? How do we know that kings' years are counted only from Nissan? And at this point, we're not making the distinction between Jewish kings and Goyish kings. Later on Daf Gimel, the Gemara is going to point out that distinction. Right now, we're talking about kings generically. So how do we know that kings' years are counted from Nissan? Shenema. In the 480th year since the Jewish people had left Mitzrayim, so the Yetzias Mitzrayim was in the year 2448, add 480 years to that, brings you to 2928. That is the year when they began to build the first base of Mikdash. Bashana Haravis, in the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech's reign, B'chodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv, which is Chodesh, the pasuk continues to say that it's the second month, meaning that it's Chodesh Iyar, Hu HaChodesh HaSheni, this is the second month. So Iyar is called Ziv. The Gemara explains later that Ispa Ziva La'iloni, the trees have Ziv, they have a beauty and a splendor because at that time they're flowering. Tosfos points out later on the Gemara seems to imply that that Chodesh Ziv is actually Chodesh Nisan. So what are we saying over here? That's Iyar. So Tosfos, because the Gemara mentions over there that the Ovos, according to one opinion, were born in Nisan, and we call the month Ziv because Nodabo Ziv is Sonei Olam, the splendorous ones, the beautiful ones of the world who brought a splendor of course into the world, were born in that month. So how are we saying over here it's Iyar? So Tosfos says two possibilities. One is he brings an answer that Rashi himself gives later on Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara says this. What it means is they were born in Nisan. Therefore, when Iyar came, they were already in the world. So therefore, we call Chodesh Ziv not the month where they were born, but the first complete month where they were already alive, where each of them was already alive. We call that Chodesh Ziv. So therefore, no contradiction. Tosfos says another point also. We have to remember, we have our months, so Chodshei Alavana, we go according to the phases of the moon, but we know we have Shnei Chama, we have years of the sun, we have Ibur Yoren every so often to adjust them, and so we can talk about any given month, you can talk about the month according to the Levana, and you can talk about the same month according to the Chama, according to the sun, meaning where the sun is in the cycle of Mazalos, in the zodiac. So let's take today, for example. We're already in Chodesh Cheshvan, but we're still in the time when the month when the sun is still in the is still on the Galgal Mazalis, and the zodiac is still in the constellation of Moznayim, the scales, which is the one that belongs to Tishrei. So in effect, what it is we're in Tishrei of the Chama, Tishrei of the sun, but in Cheshvan of the moon. So the same way. What we're saying is, in other words, when you have, let's say, so you have an Ibur Yor, and that equalizes things, so then, more or less, Nisan of the Chama equals Nisan of the Levana. Oh. For example, the Medrash tells us, there's a Medrash that says that in the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Tkufas Nisan were on the same day. So literally, you had then the Chodesh Nisan of the Levana and Chodesh Nisan of the Chama are identical. But we know it's often not like that. This year, for example, we have an Ibur Yor and we have an Ibur month coming up in a few months because we're still, in terms of the zodiac, in terms of the position of the sun, we're still in Tishrei. That's what we mean. The zodiac is the belt of 12 constellations that the sun moves through. Right. That's the point. In other words, the sun's path goes through those 12 mazolos, and that's why we distinguish those as the zodiac, as the Galgal mazolos. So what it is, for example, now it's only early October. We're already into Cheshvan, so it's Cheshvan of the Levana, but we're still in Tishrei of the Chama. By the same token, Tosfos says that when we say that Chodesh Ziv, there it says that the Ovis were born in Nisan. Here we're talking about Iyar. What it means is they may have been born in Iyar of Chodesh Halavana, but it was still Nisan of the Tekufa. It was still within 1 month after the equinox, and therefore we can call it Nisan as well. In any case, getting back to the Gemara, so in Chodesh Ziv, Hu HaChodesh HaSheni, which is the second month, Limloich Shloima Av Yisrael, of Shloima's reign. So Rashi explains, the Chodesh HaSheni doesn't refer to the word Limloich Shloima Av Yisrael, the Limloich Shloima Av Yisrael refers back to Bashana Harviz. It's like the pasuk is saying something parenthetical. In the fourth year, in the second month of that year, and what do we mean? What fourth year? The fourth year of Shlomo's reign over the Jewish people. So, therefore, the Gemara says, Makish, Malchus Shlomo, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, we have a hekish in the pasuk between Shlomo's reign and Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we count the years of Shlomo's reign in a similar way to we do to Yetzias Mitzrayim. My Yetzias Mitzrayim min Nisan, Ach Malchus Shlomo min Nisan. So, Yetzias Mitzrayim, we begin counting from Nisan. As the Gemara is going to go on to prove, I mean, the Pashto is saying, Muskel Rishon would be, we do because Yetzias Mitzrayim was in Nisan, but nevertheless, the Gemara is still going to try to analyze and prove that point. So, but once we say that we count In Tis Mitzrayim from Nissan, then we're learning from the Hekesh that we also count the years of kings from Nissan as well. So the Tis Mitzrayim Gufa Menolim the Nissan Menin. Okay, so where do we know that? Where do we know that in fact that Tis Mitzrayim, that years of Tis Mitzrayim are counted from Nissan? Duma Mitishrei Menin. Maybe in fact we count them from Tishrei. So maybe in other words we would say the first year of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a short year. It began with Yetzias Mitzrayim and ended Chof Tes Elul. The second year begins Tishrei of the following year and ends with Elul, and so on and so forth. The answer is Lois Sakadai. You can't think that way. Dichtiv Vayal Aaron Akoin Al Hor Hor Hor. The pasuk says Aaron went up to Hor 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 Al Pi Hashem by the mouth of Hashem, meaning at Hashem's command. We also learned from that that he passed away with Mrs. Nishika. Anyway, by Yomastrom, and he passed away there. The Shnas Ha'Aboyim Tzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim in the 40th year since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. VaChodesh HaChamishi in the 5th month. VeEchad LaChodesh on the 1st day of the month. Now Chodesh HaChamishi, Tosfos points out, necessarily must be of, because we know there's no question the order of the months counts from Nisan. There's no question we know that Chodesh HaRishon is Nisan and Chodesh HaSheni is Adar and so forth. The question is as far as when the year turns over. So the fifth month definitely means of. So therefore, so Aaron passed away on Rosh Chodesh of. Uchtiv, then you have at the beginning of Sefer Devarim, by Hibar Boyim Shana in the 40th year, by Ashtay also Chodesh. Now notice it doesn't say the 40th year since Yetzias Mitzrayim, it just says the 40th year. That's what we're going to have to establish that. But by Ashtay also Chodesh, on the 11th, in the 11th month, in Shvat, by Echad LaChodesh, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Dibur Moshe, when Moshe started speaking Sefer Devarim to the Jewish people. So, Midikoi Ba'ov B'Kori L'Shnas Aboyim, since in Av we're already calling it the 40th year, which is when Aaron passed away, B'Kori B'Shvat B'Kori L'Shnas Aboyim, and then 6 months later we're in Shvat, and we're still calling it Shnas Aboyim, Miklal, the Rosh Hashanah, Lav Tishrei, therefore, obviously, Rosh Hashanah, for years of Yetzias Mitzrayim, cannot be in Tishrei, because otherwise it would have rolled over already to the 41st year. The problem with that is, B'Shlema Heyach Mefarish B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, the first one by Aaron HaKohen, it says clearly that it was from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Elahai, but the second one, Mimai de Yetzias Mitzrayim, how do you know it's counting from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Duma LaHakamas HaMishkan, maybe it actually said, maybe it actually is counting from when the Mishkan was set up. The Mishkan was set up a year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So maybe, in other words, maybe they had two overlapping counts. They're counting Yetzias, for example, so you have the first year is the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The second year is the year they set up a Mishkan. Maybe they also, maybe some people counted that as the first year of a new era, the year, the era of Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim. So therefore, so now when we talk about the 40th year, when Moshe started speaking, it doesn't say it's the 40th year since Yetzias Mitzrayim. So maybe it's from some other epoch, such as the putting up the Mishkan. The answer is K'd'Omer Apopa Shnas Esrim, Shnas Esrim, Zeta Shava. The answer is the same kind of thing as we're going to have later in the Sugya, where you have one pasuk in Nehemiah where he says that that a certain event happened, the Shnas Esrim LaTachshas HaMelech, in the 20th year of King Artachshasta, and then a different pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Nehemiah says that it happened the Shnas Esrim without specifying Shnas Esrim since what? And our Papa says Shnas Esrim, the Gzeira Shava, that we have a Gzeira, it's not really a true Gzeira Shava, because what it means is more to, it's more that, in other words, when you have two dates in the same context, where one of them it says where it begins and the other one it doesn't, then we learn, it's called Yuma Sosum in Amaphodesh, we learn the unexplicit one from the explicit one. So since the explicit one it says V'lazach Shas Kamelach, then we're meant to understand that the previous one is also. So Hochanami, the same thing. Hochanami, Shnasaboyim, the Gzeder Shava, then we have the same kind of Gzeder Shava over here. Again, not really a Gzeder Shava, but Yuma Sosum in Amaphodesh to say Ma. Kamli Tzias Mitzrayim, Af Kamli Tzias Mitzrayim, the same way as the date of Aaron's Ptira, which is in the 40th year, is clearly 40 years since Tzias Mitzrayim, because it says so in the pasuk. So is the beginning of Moshe's speech is also in the 40th year. So now the only thing remaining is, which we're going to leave for tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is, so how do we know that things were in that order? What are we saying? That Aaron passed away, and then 6 months later, Moshe began Sefer Devarim. How do we know? It's not the other way around. Maybe in Muktamum Uchavat Torah, after all. So maybe Moshe starts speaking Sefer Dvarim in Shvat, And then 6 months later, so like this, we always figure he started at 37 days before he passed away. So he starts at Rosh Chodesh Shvat and finishes Zayin Adar. Maybe not. Maybe he took a year saying Sefer Dvarim. So he starts Rosh Chodesh Shvat of 1 year. He finishes Zayin Adar the following year. And meanwhile, in between, during that time, Aaron passed away. By the way, you have in one of those speeches, he mentions that Aaron passed away, Shom Mes Aaron. Okay, again, if he took a whole year speaking them, then sometime during that point, Aaron passes away and he's mentioned to them. So how we know that it's not so, that we're going to deal with in the Gemara tomorrow. That's the
Shkoyach. Wonderful day.